Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, if it isn't us back again for some more hilarity and informative chat. Week six.
You sound so surprised. It's like, well. If we didn't organise this Zoom call 3 days ago, eh? What a surprise to see you here.
Is it six or seven? I can't remember.
That's why I questioned. But I think we were questioning last week. Every week we're going to question.
Do you know what? I just can't. When people be like, oh, here we go. Just fast forward to the pit where they actually start talking about something other than how many episodes I've done.
This is the best of the show. What are you talking about? My parents stopped listening after this bit started.
This is for the Schreiber parents.
Yeah. This is the bit that you're here for.
Are they going to figure it out? Who knows? No, yeah. They didn't.
Who's got it this time? I think it's always Dan. Oh, Dan's always right. It's seven. It's got to be seven.
He's cheating, though, I think. I think he's got a post-it note there with the number seven.
He looks it up first, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why this is his favourite part.
Me and Fidella, we trade. We do like studies just before. She's like, what number is it? Six? No, you idiot. Seven.
You've got to get on the top of it, man. It's going to start in a minute.
God damn it, man. Your parents are listening.
Don't let them down.
That is actually probably more true for me or Reese. Your Fidella is very lovely. She would be more encouraging. She'd be like, you can do it, buddy. You can do it. What number is it? What number is it?
What comes after six?
Well, you know, those guys, they've all got baby brains, haven't they, in his household? They've got an excuse. Yeah. Leon and I don't have an excuse for being stupid. Or do I? Because I've got some news, obviously, for the listeners. I am now currently in New Zealand. So I've made the jump.
Welcome home. You made it back.
I'm back. I had to go through many COVID restrictions to get back into New Zealand, so I'm now currently in a two-week isolated hotel situation. I flew into Auckland, and then before we got off the plane, a military commander came onto the plane.
What?
And she said, I believe she was a major in her full camouflage gear.
Is this an American one?
No, in New Zealand.
Do
yes.
we have them still?
How dare you? And she came on the plane and she said, all right, everyone, you're heading to Christchurch. We couldn't even get off the plane. So there was those that were like, only those that were on like a transferring flight to somewhere anyway were allowed to transfer. And even they were, you know, taken out individually and, you know, hosed down type thing. But we flew to Christchurch on a different plane.
Wow.
And I'm here at a hotel next to an airport, the airport Novotel. Being looked after, I get three meals a day. They just knock on the door and I open the door and then there's a bag of food. It's a lucky dip. There is a menu, but I've said, look, I'll eat anything while I'm here. It'll be fun to see what I get. And I've got to be honest with you, I quite like prison life. It's easy. You know, you don't have to make too many choices. No one talks to you.
That's perfect.
I've done a lot of reading.
Imagine if Reese goes to actual jail one day. You'd be like, oh, I've done this before when you get to the cell.
Well, hopefully this is the closest I ever get.
What's lucky dinner coming round?
But not only that, they put in little sheets of paper with the food sometimes, with like word finds and a maze in there. Yeah, things to do. They do.
Really?
No.
They do.
No, they don't. They don't. that's so cute. Oh, do they think that you're like an unmonitored minor or something? They think there's a seven-year-old in there all by themselves giving you colouring inputs.
I think Rosie may have said something to them, yeah, because today I got a model kit turn up at the door, complete with paints and everything. So I've got hobbies that I'm allowed
really?
To do. Yes, I had, and also yesterday a delivery of probably over 25 packets of chips and lollies.
No.
So someone knows what I like.
Oh, hang on. Are you getting the star treatment? Everybody else around you is getting, peanut butter sandwiches.
Or are you accepting the Amazon Prime orders of the door next to you?
Oh, you know what? I might be.
Yeah, there's someone right now leaving reviews on Amazon going, I ordered this model kit paint set 5 days ago.
Oh, there is an unmonitored seven-year-old next door going, just crying, with no chips, no lollies, no model making kit. And here's Darbs next door going, oh, this is having the time of my life. Look at this.
Look, I'm just assuming that these are things from my fans. And by the way, if you are listening, folks, I am room 220 at the Novotel Hotel. I will accept anything fun. No stick mags, please.
No, because they might accidentally go to the seven-year-old next door.
Yeah, we don't want the mix-up that's happened so far reversing.
And if somebody could please send a Spitfire, because you've already got the Fokker, you've got the Messerschmitt, and then moving on to tanks. If you could organise yourself fans and all fans starting with the letters A, B, and C, if they could send model tanks, if all the fans starting with D, E, and F.
Stop it, because by the time this goes out, I'll actually be released, and I don't want packages upon packages arriving at this hotel for whoever ends up staying in this room, isolating once I'm gone.
I can't believe they took you to Christchurch. Everyone on the plane must have been like, what?
It was a shock to a lot of people because, you know, most people obviously, well, all of them, except those in transit, we're hoping to go to Auckland, which was the destination of the plane that was going to Auckland.
Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it?
It's the way he says things.
Emotionally, that's how it works for most people.
He's got a way with words. It's not the right way, but it's a way. So anyway, how about you two? What's your situos?
Well, my latest news is that I have become, very excitingly, a member of a Patreon page called The Cryptid Factory.
Oh, wow! Yay!
Well, Buttons kept telling us that he was going to be uploading videos and he had all this exciting stuff, but he hadn't given you and me the login.
No!
So the only way I thought I could see it is to actually join. Become a Patreon of my own show.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I'm now losing money on this thing.
Oh, that is hilarious. Well, this is why I'm not joining. I'm refusing to. I'm not going to be putting money into this venture.
Guys,
I know what it's like. I'm part
of
it.
Guys, this is if you want to be if you want to be a part of it, you can join in. It's that easy.
So you're expecting us to pay to watch the Patreons?
Sure, you create the show, but you don't have to get automatic entry to all the fun stuff, do you? It's like working at the Disneyland and expecting to go on all the rides for free.
Well, they
do. Do they? Well, that's
what do you not know about organisations? When you work for them, you do get to enjoy the stuff for free.
Well, you might get a discount. I'll give you a discount rather than $5
a month. I pity all the people at your work at Augusto. Do they actually have to pay to turn up to work? I love what you're doing here, mate, but I'm going to need a few pingers for that computer you're using. It's my computer. Yeah, I know, but it's on my desk, isn't it? Now, I tell you what, a payment scheme of $3 a week should do it.
Well, I tell you what, that when it's that much fun, when coming to work is that much fun, then surely you should contribute, you know?
Okay, how many members do we have on Patreon?
Well, including Dan, we've got...
Seven.
Is there seven
now? Oh, we've gone up. We've got seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Oh. Yep, that's me. Finella's joined.
That's more than our weekly listenership. That's weird.
No, it's not, surely.
Oh, so it's very exciting. And the video is really cool. I mean, it's unedited. So if anyone wants to see, like, proper raw footage of us.
An hour and a half of us being complete.
It's an hour and a half. Yeah. You can see Buttons holding his phone up to the microphone to play the theme tune.
All secrets revealed.
Yeah. You can get the extended COVID update chat at the top of the show.
Oh, yeah.
My parents so love.
It's basically your parents and you and me. And then another couple of randoms are the Patreon. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, don't call our beloved Patreon members randoms. Without them, we're not making any money.
Well, I tell you, I'm still getting used to this whole thing that people leave messages and you get to communicate with these people. It's really exciting. Did you get a communication from me, Dan?
I think I did. And I think it was a message going, "Hi, can you all tell me what I should be doing?"
Yes. I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on.
Here we go. Here's the email that Buttons sent out to all seven people that I was privy to. Hey, thanks so much for being an early adopter of us on the Patreon machine. We're very humbled. Please let us know if we're doing okay. We have very little idea of what the hell we're doing. What?
Well, it's true. I'm being just honest.
It's just, oh, my God. It's so much confidence true. In the leadership there.
I know.
The guy who's literally in charge of the technical aspects of the show.
Yeah, well, it's true, isn't it? We have very little idea. Well, I certainly have very little idea what I'm doing. At least I'm big enough to admit it.
Yeah, I would say small enough. And meek enough. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoy the show. If you've got any help, because we require it, if you've got any hints or tips, please let us know.
Honestly, I wear my heart on my... What is it? How do they say it?
Sleeve.
Sleeve. My arm. I was going to say I wear my heart on my arm, and that doesn't sound quite. It doesn't sound quite right.
Old arm heart.
Yeah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of this week's three-way Vibus update.
Bye, Mum. Bye, Dad.
Bye, June.
I hope you enjoyed the show.
That's the only bit we like. All right, let's do everyone's favourite segment.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out. Well, I thought we couldn't go past this week without mentioning life on Venus. I mean, this is a big one. So basically, a chemical signature has been spotted in its clouds. It was a microbial signature found in the clouds of Venus that freaked everyone out. Basically, astronomers have reported the detection of a chemical in the acidic Venusian clouds, phosphine.
Wow.
Which may be a possible sign of life.
That's very cool. What did the signature say? Was it like, best wishes, aliens?
Oddly enough, it was just a simple signature. One of those ones you can't read. Could be. We don't know who signed it. So just to let people know, phosphine, I believe it's pronounced phosphin. Depends what school you went to. I didn't go to many. Actually, I did. I take that back. I went to far too many schools, and that's why I'm a bit screwed up. But phosphine is produced by certain types of bacteria. So that's why they know it's from something living. And although it's really just a tiny signature that's been picked up, it is still earth-shattering because, for a start, we didn't think anything was going to come from Venus. Everyone's concentration is on Mars. Mm. And, of course, Venus itself, with over 900 degree Fahrenheit temperatures on the planet's surface, you know, there's just no chance of really collecting any data from there at this point. Although the Russians, of course, have sent craft to Venus. And believe it or not, they are actually claiming Venus is their own planet.
Right.
Oh.
I mean, if it's true, if it's obviously they found a signature, but we've got to, I guess we have to wait a bit to find out more about what this means. And, you know, there's a bit of me that thinks there's going to be something of contamination from the thing that found it, which will be traced back to human. Like, this is the big thing about planetary travel and exploration, is that most people who study bacteria and so on, the idea of humans going to a planet is the worst thing possible, because suddenly we'll be putting our traces all over the planet and you can't discover if life was there before. And I do half wonder if we're going to somehow go, damn it, it's terrestrial, as in it's a human sample of life. Mm. I hope not. I mean, this bit is damn exciting. If we found life in the universe, what's it mean?
Well, I read somewhere that this, if it is proven that this is truly alien life, that it will be the biggest scientific discovery of all time. That it will prove once and for all that life can exist outside of Earth. But I have to say, it will be the biggest scientific discovery, but kind of in some ways the least exciting, because if you were to ask anybody on the street, do you think there is like microbial life elsewhere in the universe, they'd go, yeah, of course, duh. Of course, there has to be somewhere. And they go, so we found it in clouds and Venus, you know, wicked, but...
it's still microbial. And we knew that we were going to find some microbial. There's been speculation of microbial stuff on Mars and in meteors and things like that. And so and for your average Joe, you know, that we count for, it's less exciting. For scientists, you know, they're losing their shit. But for us, it's like, well, you can't even see it. Come on.
Yeah.
But here, get this. So this was in CBS News. Russia's space agency chief declares Venus a Russian planet.
What?
So, yeah, this is from Moscow. If there's life on Venus, it might want to start learning Russian. The boss of Russia's government space agency has claimed it as a Russian planet. The bold territorial claim comes on the heels of scientific research suggesting life could exist on Earth's celestial neighbor. Roscosmos chief Dmitry Rogozin, who's known for espousing unconventional scientific views and for frequently sarcastic anti-Western rhetoric, said this week that Russia wants to send its own mission to Venus, in addition to an already proposed joint venture with the United States called Venera D. So now the race is going to be on to get to Venus. But this sparked something interesting for me. The space wars that are, you know, looks like they're going to happen at some point, where countries are now going to start claiming planets. Because if you claim it, if you get there first, then you can start mining it for its minerals. Exactly. Like,
but
you know,
how does that even work? Like, you suddenly start looking at that and go, how is it that you can go from this globe where everybody over millennia develops their different cultures, their different governments and their different ways of life, different religions and all that kind of stuff. Then they start going out and trying to claim other bodies of mass in the solar system. It just kind of, like, surely we're one whole planet. Nobody owns the solar system. Nobody owns the planets. How does a country decide we were the ones there first, so we get to own it? It doesn't make any sense.
Hmm. Yeah.
But there's money to be made. That's where it comes in. And, you know, as the superpowers get bigger and more technologies are developed to actually reach these celestial bodies, then territorial claims can be made. And I can just see us heading towards that, you know, spaceships shooting each other in space.
Yes,
well, that's what I'm looking forward to anyway.
That's exciting. That is exciting.
Yeah. I watched Moonraker the other day and I went, oh my God, we are 6 months from Moonraker happening. Oh. I don't know whether you guys have seen that recently, but it's, yeah.
I love it.
There's astronauts flying in space with laser guns shooting each other.
Yes.
It's interesting because we, with all the satellites that are around Earth at the moment, there's so many. And if something bad happens and they break up, they're like bullets in space, basically, just orbiting our planet. And so there was a few instances where China blew up one of their satellites in space, basically creating debris to the point where the International Space Station still to this day has to sort of alter its movements if they can spot, because there are people back on Earth who are monitoring these big bits of debris and whether or not they're getting close to important stuff. And that's a kind of act of war that was deemed as. That was almost the first space war, because that's an intentional littering of space. And we've got so many of these pieces going around that there's a worry that we might get to a point where we can't actually exit our planet because we'll be taken out immediately by all these rogue
all
bits
the clutter.
Of,
yeah.
All the clutter. And the clutter can be everything. They've stopped sending out feces and urine into low orbit like the International Space Station, because if a poo goes flying out, it turns into a solid, and that can take out one rogue turd could take out the International Space Station. So it's very dangerous. We do kind of have a weird space war going on outside already.
That's a different kind of a Moonraker storyline, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where James Bond is in space trying to stop the rogue turd taking out the, you know, the space station, or create like the terrorist attack of turds. You know,
you've heard of spaceships. Now it's space shits.
We got a space shit right up ahead of us. Oh my God! Jetpack out! Everyone, jetpack out!
Oh, not this again.
No, stop it! Stop it!
But it's huge. This is huge.
Yeah,
you know, if it's true, it's what we've all wanted confirmation of. We all know there are aliens out there. Obviously, there has to be life in the universe if it's here, teeming on this planet. But you know, there was a thing that some people say, which is this whole solar system. There might have been countless civilizations on different planets like Mars and so on. But the one thing that goes against us is how long the universe has lasted for. Seven billion, I don't know, years.
Yeah.
I don't know how long
it's in the billions.
The universe is meant to have it. Yeah, but you know, how long have we been communicating with space? It's been about the last 100 and something years that we've worked out how to either put something up, send something out. 100's even too generous. It's less than that.
Right.
You know, that's nothing in space time, right? There could have been a civilization that lasted for a billion years and they're gone and we just missed them. And so this is incredible that we
That's
found
true.
It on a neighboring planet.
Yeah.
Wow, it's awesome.
And by the way, going off the back of your shit talk there, this discovery was unexpected and a potential game changer. The presence of airborne phosphine is a little like scat stumbled upon in the desert. That's what they're sort of looking at And this is from the CBS article I'm reading here.
Hey, did we talk about NASA staking claims on the moon and getting private companies to start getting up to the moon and mining the moon?
No.
Did we not talk about it last week?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you have another podcast, Leon, about space that you're not telling us about?
That's my cool one.
Button Moon.
Buttons, the space inside spaces, the shed show.
This is my Patreon. I've actually got about 3,500 Patreon followers for that one. So the cryptid thing was just a little bit of a pain in the ass that I just, you know, it was a seven. I mean, gosh, why would you bother? No. This is big news over the last couple of weeks, where NASA is challenging companies to mine the lunar soil.
Right.
So what they're doing, they're encouraging, much like they have with Elon Musk, to start, you know, developing rockets to be able to get up to the International Space Station so they don't have to take care of that themselves. What NASA have started doing is started to encourage private companies, private American companies, to get to the moon to start mining the lunar surface. Now, the interesting thing is that they want that to be a commercial enterprise, but they don't actually want to send any of the lunar soil or any of the mining back to Earth. They're actually wanting these companies to go up there to start mining it so they can stake a claim and have ownership over areas of the moon. And it's really interesting because over the years, there has been a website called lunarland.com.
There has been?
Yeah, well, it's still there. And its tagline is Earth's oldest, most recognized celestial real estate agency. And wow. For $29, you get 1 acre of lunar land and a deed and a map and their pledge and a registration with the IAOHPE, which is the International Association of Human Planetary Exploration.
Okay. That sounds legit.
Wow.
But the thing is that people have always laughed and bought it as a birthday present. You know, I use an acre of the moon yeah. you can have.
I think I might even have some.
I think you've got a deed in the way there somewhere. But what does this now mean? If people have put that, here's a big prediction from me that I reckon that at some point that website that has been selling all of that land is going to, when all of this kind of land grabbing of the moon comes up, there will be in a court of law, there will be a big court case where these people go and say, no, we own these acres of land, and people are going to actually own a piece of the moon for $30.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty safe bet. It's only $30. And so I think everybody should go and buy an acre of moon for the fact that it may in the future actually be legit. And if you do that and put in buttons as the promotional code at the checkout, you'll get 15% off, and I'll make sure all proceeds go to the IAOHEP.
The world's worst acronym. If you can all remember the IOUPTQ950, it's easy to remember.
I will put all my proceeds towards the Save the Acronyms Club. It's like, you know, acronyms, they're just not getting used as much these days, you know?
Look, you've got a good point there, and I think we are getting closer and closer to, you know, getting to Mars. Sorry, the moon. The problem is, by the time this happens, all those owners of land who will stake their claim, they're going to be in their 70s and 80s. They're not going to be able to go there. They're going to be like, give me a chance. Now, they can probably give the land to their children, but that's actually a great movie idea. Yet again, the Cryptid Factor have come up with a fantastic movie idea of all these regular humans, you know, 500,000, however many have, probably more than that, who have got their little acre-squared claim on the moon. Yeah, this big court case, and then a giant spaceship where they all fly there and they all get let out, and they get to go and, you know, get their segment of the moon and put their two-man tents up.
It's like a Glastonbury.
Glastonbury.
They're just all camping.
Moonsonbury.
Hey, do you know what I found out the other day? I found out that when Armstrong and Aldrin landed on the moon, they went out of the Eagle to go down. The door to the Eagle didn't have a door handle on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, no door handle. So they couldn't shut the door, because if they shut the door, the pressurization of inside might have sucked it shut.
Mm. And they'd have been stuck on the moon.
Oh.
And they've been stuck on the moon.
My God. Really?
Yeah.
Did they do the old jam an old slipper in the door or something like that? Like, how did they keep it open?
Well, funnily enough, yes, one of the things they had to take with them was an old slipper for that very purpose. Don't forget the slipper.
Was it Michael Collins? That would have been the one little joy of the third man that gets very little mention. He'd be up there circling around going, ah, stuff yous, and hit the go home button and just leave them down there trying to jimmy their door open.
The go home button.
I bet they do have a go home button these days. It's just a simple one touch.
Yeah.
There must be Satnav voice as well. Take a left on the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Head straight for 360,000 miles.
Heading towards Venus. Watch out. You are now in Russian airspace. What? All right.
Okay, my headline this week. A church organ that has been playing a single chord continuously for 2,527 days has just changed to another chord.
What? Oh, wow.
What?
That's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, this is really cool. This is, there's an artist slash musician who passed away decades ago now, called John Cage. And John Cage is perhaps best known for his 1952 composition, 4 Minutes 33, which was pure silence.
Yeah.
And he was this kind of composer who had these big plans for how you can stage artistic songs. So 4 Minutes 33 is not actually silent. It's about whatever noise is in the room. That's the composition of the song. And he wrote a bunch of pieces like this. One of the other pieces he wrote was called Organ 2 / ASLSP. And that stands for, and you know, back in, you know, lover of acronyms, he was, as slow as possible is what that meant. And the idea was you had 8 sheets of music, but there was no time tempo to it. So the idea was the person playing it had to play it for as slow as they could make sure an audience could tolerate it. And that was the challenge. How slow can you go? So in 1997, this is after John Cage has died, there was a conference of musicians and philosophers, and they talked about that instruction to play it as slow as possible. And they came up with an idea that on a single organ, playing the notes continuously, starting from 2003, I believe it was, they are going to play this one song, 8 pieces of music, for 639 years.
Yeah.
What?
And yeah, and we're now, you know, it started in 2003, 2020. They've just changed chord. The next chord changes in 2022. And it's going to end 639 years from 2003. So I'm not sure the exact date. 2640, the year 2640 is when this is going to end. And they built this organ specifically in this church for it to be playing these notes, and there's this sort of system underneath the organ that keeps the sound going, and they've had to put sort of Perspex boxes over the organ to stop the noise because it's pissing off people because it's just one droning note.
This is so insane.
It's so mad. It's so wonderful. And so they changed it recently, and a bunch of people came to see the chord get changed, and I watched it on live stream. So everyone can watch this online, and if you can't hear it annoyingly because of my headphones and the way we record this, but I can tell you that when the chord changes, I really couldn't tell that the chord had changed at all. So,
well, luckily you've got me here, and I can do great reenactments, so I'm going to do that for you now.
Great.
This is basically what happened.
Okay, guys, so basically the chord's going to change any minute now. If you listen carefully, you can hear the chord now, and you'll be able to notice the change. Here we go. Oh, that was amazing.
Did that change? I didn't know that if that changed.
Yeah, like Dan said, it's very subtle.
Oh, see, I'm not good with subtlety.
Did you not notice the change there?
No.
I noticed the change. Yours had more of a change than it had a change. Yeah, you didn't hear the change?
Wow. Your ears are off.
I did, a little bit. So this remote, I don't want to trump your piece of news, Dan, because I know how much effort you put into it. But
here we go.
It just reminded me of another piece of news about a composition. How many years was your one playing for?
Well, it's been playing since 2003 and it'll end in 2640.
That's cool. That's a cool piece of music. No, that's, I'm not taking away from that because that's a big achievement, you know, and that's a good news story. It's just I have this one here, a story about a thing called the long player, which is playing a piece of music for 1,000 years. So I just...
Oh, yeah.
It started on the 31st of December 1999. And it is going to keep playing this one piece of music, or at least this one composition, until the very last moment of 29.99.
Oh wow! So you're trying. So you're outstripping Dan's news.
I mean,
that's huge.
Not on purpose.
What's the buttons? What's the bit of news in your news story?
Oh. Okay, it's not strictly news then. It's just spite.
Because they've just changed chord in this song, hence why it was in the news.
Oh, good point.
Feels 1999? So 1999
news? Okay.
I think we've hit a new tone here ourselves, folks. And I think it's having an argument over the most boring news you could ever imagine, trying to outstrip each other from news about a tone that changes slightly that's been playing for thousands of years. I mean, I'm falling asleep trying to listen to this bullshit.
Hey.
That's the sound of all the listeners hanging up.
No, Reese, you don't understand. It's all part of the strategy, you see. What we do is we move all of the really interesting, fascinating stuff to the Patreon podcast where people have to pay for it, and we make this show as boring as batshit. So people are like, oh, it's not quite what it used to be. And you go, no, you've got to pay $5 a month now, and you get actually what it used to be before Patreon was invented. So
I see the strategy.
It's clever.
Yeah.
Well, you've certainly lost me.
Yeah, well,
I'm heading over to Patreon now. All right, well, this is all very fascinating.
But if Dan got to play the sound of the 600-year piece of music, do you guys not want to hear the thing playing?
I didn't. Reese made the sound.
Sure, look, Buttons, if you want another reenactment, this time of your sound, I'll be willing to push that boat out.
Well, just
come on then, play your actual audio. Let's hear what it sounds like.
Well, the point is, this thing is going to play for 1,000 years, and it's not going to repeat the same chord in 1,000 years. So it's not going to. There's one composition that is never ever going to repeat itself in 1,000 years. And it's playing right now, and you can listen online.
I just hope that the story doesn't repeat itself for 1,000 years.
Okay, I'm not going to play it then.
No, play it. So this is a tone.
No, I'm not.
Is it a key? What is it?
Well, it's only six or seven notes, isn't there? There's A, B,
the combination of the notes, you know, it's going
to
play. It's not going to play the same music.
On behalf of the listeners, please play this tone and let that be the end of this article or whatever you want to call it. And
okay.
I pray to God this is only on the Patreon, and I'm so sorry for you listeners if you're having to listen to this. This will be a good out. This will be a nice finish to this debacle of a news story.
Well, the truth is I've just found that you actually have to pay to listen to it, so we're not going to listen to it.
Oh, God. There it is.
We could use our Patreon money.
You know what? There's only one thing that can save this, and I'm going to go into it now.
The the weird thing is people don't even realize that that was actually me. I just paid to listen to this composition. That wasn't even Rhys Darby singing. It turns out this 1,000-year-old composition is just slight tweaks on the Benny Hill theme music for 1,000 years. And you can pay to listen to it. It's really exciting.
I would pay to listen to that. And I would gather in a church with a bunch of other people to hear the Benny Hill tune play for 1,000 years. If that was the other thing, to notice the slight changes, particularly if it was Rhys Darby draped under a cloth while everyone is gathered around. I think that's Rhys Darby under there, isn't it?
No.
I don't recognise that tone anywhere. I heard it on the Cryptid Factor. It's bloody him.
How does he change it so slightly every time? The trick would be you doing it exactly the same every time for 1,000 years.
Muttons is out the front with everybody going, don't forget to join our Patreon account.
$5.
Stake your claims. You'll get a piece of the moon. You get a piece of the moon. Keep going, Rhys. Keep going. I'm running out of breath, Muttons. Just keep doing it, all right? We've got 7 extra members so far.
And it's only been 300 years.
Whatever happened to Dan? Oh, he's been touring the universe with No Such Thing as a Fish for the last 20 years. I've never seen the fucking guy. That's how mad we've gone. That's what's going to end up happening. I think it's time to talk about some creatures.
Hey.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid.
What have you got?
Well, as far as crypto news, I'm excited to say that there is an official Loch Ness Monster sighting.
Oh, brilliant.
And the 7th one for this year.
Yeah.
7 Nessie sightings in one
Whoa,
year.
Hang
what
on,
does that
hang
say?
Hang on. Hold the thought train. Yeah. I think, doesn't that match up with 7 episodes of The Cryptid Factor? Now that is synchronicity.
And 7 Patreon listeners.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
This is freaky. And I'm going to have to go in about 7 minutes. I don't even have that excuse anymore because you guys know I'm in an isolated hotel room.
Because you're busy stealing stuff from the 7-year-old next door.
Okay, so there is actually an official Loch Ness Monster sightings register. And
oh, that's
is,
cool.
It's lochnesssightings.com. Go and check it out. And so this is showing here. This is the latest one here, 29th of August 2020. Mr. Van Schubeck, on holiday in the area with his family, spotted an unexplained phenomenon when he looked back at his pictures. This was taken near Point Clear at 2:22. And so you see it says it's in the distance off to the left of the point of the land. It's always...
I like how they have to point out where it is in the text. So if you're looking at the picture now, please look to the left of it and zoom in as much as you can and you'll see almost something there.
Something almost there. Can you see it there? It's like a little black blob in the water.
Oh,
it's
definitely not...
Something that can easily be explained, unless it's a silhouette of a fisherman or something. But
I've got to say, it's not the clearest picture though. It's classic cryptozoology.
No. What's the little black thing right on the edge of the screen there? Because that's sort of disconnected in the same way that's disconnected. Yeah, that.
I think that's either just the point of the land or it's the fisherman's mate.
It could be a seal, but look, it is certainly a photo of an anomaly in the lock.
But has this register said, yeah, we'll accept that as potential proof, Or does it just mean that seven people have submitted a thing?
I think they go through a very, you know, stringent process of checking that the photo is real. I'm making it up.
You're making that up, but it does sound good. I mean, if I was running the site, I wouldn't take any old photo, you know, with the amount of Photoshop people do these days. And it looks genuine. The reason it looks genuine is because it's not great.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, the one good thing on this website is they do actually have a bunch of tabs down the side, and one of them is fakes, jokes, and hoaxes. So there is they obviously give credence to the fact that there are.
They move the photos over to that section at what point? After the 2 week mark, or
okay, just letting you know that your photo has done pretty well. It's got a few watches, but we are now moving it over to the hoax and jokes section. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I take it was a joke.
I'm just glad it held on to the official section for so long.
Yeah, right. All right. Thank you very much for wasting our time.
What happened there was the organ music, the holding music.
Exactly. That's a 600 year ringtone.
Yeah. I'm just going to put you on hold.
Yeah, I'll put you on hold for 600 years.
All right. And if you could just wait for the tone to change, and then you'll be put through to Rachel at reception.
Ah, oh, okay.
Hello? Oh, God, thank God the change came. About 600 years ago, I filed a photo.
Oh, it's been put straight into the joke section. Sorry.
Oh, you fuck.
All right, so that's great, Leon. Thank you. Oh, now, do you have anything, Dan?
Yeah, I found this story. Thousands in China swarm to hunt for a mysterious creature after they hear a dragon's growling from the mountains.
What?
Oh, now, wow, that's cool.
Awesome.
This is a village. Yeah, Guizhou is how I think it's pronounced in China. And basically, there was this noise that was just being emitted out from the mountains, this kind of low kind of noise. And no one knew what it was. And this sort of rumor started going around that it was a dragon or it's a mysterious animal of some sort. And all of the villagers got together to go and capture it, to hunt it down and find out what this thing was. So there's all this footage that's emerged online of them appearing on the top of mountains. I'll share the screen here with you guys. This is them all sort of climbing the mountains, trying to track it down to see what it is. And they did eventually find what it is. And I'm going to show you the picture of the beast here. It was, in fact, this little thing here.
What?
It's a yellow-legged button quail.
button quail!
It's button quail.
No wonder I felt an affinity.
Your namesake animal.
Oh.
And and if you listen to the noise, it really does. It sounds far bigger than what this animal is, and it was humming 2 to 3 times every 6 to 7 minutes. Oh, what's happened here? More packages.
Oh, Reese has got more packages. Reese has just walked off. We can hear other voices in his isolation room, which is he's interrupted Dan's awesome story about a button quail. And he's just walked off to go and get some more Airfix models from his buddy fan base.
Well, it might be the lucky dip dinner, which would be exciting. I want to see what he...
Oh, lucky dip dinner! Yeah, cool. Let's see if we can hear.
Lovely. Yeah. Well, not, you know, I can't wait to get home.
Okay,
thank you.
All right,
thank you.
Sorry, guys. I just had...
What was that?
That was my medical check. I had to quickly...
Are you sure it was a medical check or were you getting more presents?
No, well, look, honestly, I thought it was more presents, so that's why I went to the door. But for the Patreon viewers, you can see I've got my mask on here. One of the rules is when the door opens, you've got to wear your mask. And it was the It was my daily medical checkup. So they just take my temperature and they ask all the questions. Ah. Yeah, they just, you know, want to know whether I'm feeling okay. And so I said, of course, yes.
I just want to know whether or not that was more important than the button quail in China. So, I mean, your health is important to us, but this is a button quail.
I am so excited about the button quail. Can I just intercept by saying, when the world gets right again, can we please go on an expedition to find the button quail?
Oh, yeah.
Because
yes,
it clearly, it roars like a dragon.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what? It actually reminds me of you, Leon. It's got a big, massive voice, but when you get up close to it, it's a useless bird that you barely notice.
And well, and it is very much like me because my legs are looking quite yellow as well.
Oh, really? So, what the hell's wrong with you? You've got like a bit of jaundice.
Yeah, a bit of circulation issues. And so maybe I am actually part button quail.
I think you definitely are.
So the thing that I like about this story, because obviously it's I was sort of hoping they didn't find what it was, or they did find something and it was cryptid in its nature. But I just love that at the drop of a hat, all these villagers went on a group monster hunt.
Yeah.
And it just sort of shows that they've got the capacity to believe that the mysterious is out there and get together and go, let's find this thing. No fear. Let's do this and see, let's get to the bottom of this mystery. And sure, it ends up it's this little button quail, and the police did arrest a few people apparently for claiming it was a dragon. I guess apparently in China that's an illegal thing to claim. But I just love that. Look at those photos, all those people going, yeah. We need to find this monster.
I know, amazing. But also look at the province that it is in China. It looks beautiful, that little village. It looks gorgeous.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's a bit of excitement. And in this world where there's so much doom and gloom, it's absolutely that want for something positive to happen or something to take your mind off the shit world we're living in right now. So I can see why so many people, I mean, if it happened here, yes, we'd drop everything and walk up a hill together to hear what this crazy sound was as well. All right, we better wrap this up because I feel like...
Well, do you know the biggest reason we have to wrap this up? Is that I'm at 7% on my laptop.
No. Wow. All right, guys. Well, next week will be the final episode of me being in isolation.
Is that the last Vibus update?
Well, possibly. And one thing I will say, and it's a pleasant surprise for the listeners out there after listening to last week's episode, Button's new segment did not rear its ugly head.
Oh, hey, we haven't finished yet. Hang on. What was it? What was it again?
You can't even remember it because it was not worth remembering. But it like a virus itself, it distributed itself throughout the entire show last week and turned the whole show into complete nonsense. So I dare not mention its name, whatever that stupid segment was.
No, Dan came up with a great title. I can't even remember what it was.
No, it was your title and it was wrong. We have to dismantle it because it was
all
really
dismantled because it didn't make any sense. And on that note, it is time to go. I say that note, but what is that note? Well, it's this note.
It's a recap! 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 It's a recap! Guys, it's time for recap! And now it's time for...